Praise the Lord. So glad that you joined us here at Oasis Christian Center tonight. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock. And I know that God has got a word just for you tonight, so just enter into what God has for you. And Wanda Phillips is going to be bringing forth the word tonight, and she is full of fire, the Amen. Fire of God. So you're going to be blessed tonight. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. And for the ones at home, shout, hallelujah. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. And he's a faithful God. He's a just God. He's an awesome God. He's our God. He's our Father. And we're just here to praise him and give him all the glory. And right now, we're just going to go before the Lord in prayer. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for being God. I thank you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do. And right now, Father, we bind every scheme, every attack, and every assignment that the enemy has sent to come against this service this evening. And we loose your power. We loose your peace, Father. And we just thank you, Father God. And right now, Father, I ask for all of you and none of me. Have your way in this service this evening, Father, and we just thank and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Majesty. Hallelujah. In his presence. Just majesty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the message I'm teaching on tonight is fear. Standing against fear. And when pastors asked me to teach on this particular subject, not knowing what was going to be going on in this time, like right now, what's going on with, and people are in a state of fear in some areas, one way or another. But I want to just start out first just by saying we must get in our knowing that fear got to go. It must go. It is not adding any value to our lives. It is only taking, and it's taking what we're giving it. So we're giving it our peace, and we're giving it our joy, and we're giving it our sanctity, because fear can hold you back, and it can, because you won't go move forward in a state of fear, in a state of panic. You won't move forward. So we got to just tell fear, you got to go. You have to go. You are not going to take anything else away from me and my family. We must tell fear that. We're going to start off in 1 John 4:4. But you belong to God, my dear children. And this is the New Living Translation. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. The Amplified Translation. And as I was reading back over my notes before I came here this evening, and the Holy Spirit pressed upon me to read another version of it, so I'm reading the Amplified Version. Little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God, and you belong to him, and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world of a sinful mankind. So greater is God that's in you than Satan that's in this world. And we have to know that. So if God is living on the inside of us, whom shall we be afraid? Whom shall we fear? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The world thinks Christians supposed to be timid. It's a difference between timid and being humble and being naive. Jesus was not timid. He was a humble man. He was a humble person, but he was far from timid. Being a Christian doesn't mean you have to be timid, because there are going to be times where you're going to have to rise up. And if you're living in that state of timidity, you can't rise up. Living in that state of fear, you can't rise up. The Spirit of God lives in us. And once we are saved, that spirit of fear has to go, because the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. They both can't occupy that same spot. Fear got to go. You got to kick it out the door. It's got to go. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. That's good. To know that he's right there with you, no matter what you're going through, he's right there, so fear not. Jeremiah 29 and 11. This is a very familiar scripture, but it can be used for fear as well. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for your good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We have hope in God. Fear got to go. Fear got to go. Take a stand. And it takes faith to believe God at his word. It takes faith to do that. And there are times we're not able to move because God is silent. We think he's silent. But we need to be able to move when God is silent. We need to be able to move. And this can be scary. It can be fearful. I'm not doubting any of that. It can be. It can be. Even though at times he may be quiet, he is still there. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 31 and 8, as well as other scriptures. I just picked this one. If we are moving in the direction that God has given us to move into when we've heard his voice, but if we're not moving in direction, he'll let us know. It may be a quiet, still voice or something. He may show you something that you're headed in the wrong direction, but he'll speak to you. So we have to learn to move even when God is silent. We have to move. We cannot operate in that state of fear. He is still there. Imagine God, our Heavenly Father, whispering in your ear, Deuteronomy 31 and 8, and Jeremiah 29 and 11. Just imagine your Father God bending over, whispering in your ear, I'm here. I never leave you. I never forsake you. I'm not going to abandon you. You got this. I'm here with you. I know the plans I have for you. I'm not going to let anything bother you. I'm not going to let anything destroy you. He's whispering those things in our ears. But we've allowed fear to plug our ears where we can't hear, our spiritual ears, where we can't hear him when he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. But imagine him whispering that to us. Take a stand against fear, knowing God is there with you. He's with us. In his word, he states the battle is not ours, but his. God wants his battle back. Focus on him and not the fear. Focus on him and not the fear, the thing, the situation that we may be facing. Focus on him. And I heard a pastor say, I can't remember right now who it was when I was writing this, but he said, God can only manage what he owns. Let that soak in there for a few seconds. God can only manage what he owns. Does he own us? Are we truly his? We gave our lives to him when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, but are we allowing fear to own us and to control us? And that's only a question that we can answer for ourselves. And sometimes we have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves those tough questions that we really don't want to know the answer to. But we have to ask ourselves. We have to be real with ourselves. So how can you lie to yourself? You're going to lie to God. We got to be real with ourselves where we are. So God can work with that. He can work with realness. Be real. And Pastor Michael Todd stated, a relationship needs to end when we started it and God did not. Any relationship, but we're talking about fear tonight. Any relationship. So we have started an intimate relationship with fear. We cuddle up to it. We embrace it. We feed it. We have started an intimate relationship with fear. God did not start that relationship, so we need to end it. We need to end that relationship. We need to end it because he has not given us a spirit of fear. That's what he said in his word. You got to have faith to believe. That's what he said in his word. He has not given us a spirit of fear. So why are we having an intimate relationship with something that God did not give us? We need to think about that. Stand against it. Kick it out your home. Kick it out your mind. Kick it out your temple. Kick it out. It's not of God. Replace that with an intimate relationship with our Father. Cuddle up with his word. Fear has to go. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. And some people just stop right there. They don't read the rest of that. They just stop right there. But it goes on to say, and the word and is a conjunction, so it binds those two together, so they go together. Let's start over. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So it'll all work together for our good if we love him, and if whatever we're doing it for his purpose that he's called for us to do. It'll all work together for good. So if you're walking in the direction that God has called you to walk, and you may have a stumbling block, you may have a little pothole in the road, but just know all things work together for your good because God has called you to that. As long as you're walking in the direction that God has called you to walk, we have to do that. And there are times that, you know, fear comes up based on past situations and circumstances that we may have experienced, or we may have seen others experience it. I listened to a message again taught by Pastor Michael Todd when he made this statement, and it just really stood out to me. And he said, the past, good or bad, is the prison of our present, and the purgatory, which is a place of torment or fear, of our potential or future. I'm going to say that again, and this is a statement made by Pastor Michael Todd. He may have gotten it from someone else. I don't know. The past, good or bad, is the prison of our present, and the purgatory, which is a place of torment or fear of our potential or future. The past can literally hold us back, delay, or prevent us from obtaining what God has for us. Let the past go. Learn from it and move on. Jesse always tell me, baby, that's the past. Baby, that's the past. Baby, that's the past. Sound like a broken record at times. But he's right. It's the past. Get over it, Wanda. It's the past. Glory to God. But God says in his scriptures that I just read in Jeremiah 29:11 and Romans 8:28, his plans and his intentions for us. He's already said that. So no matter what may or may not have happened in the past, it's the past. God said he has us a future. He said that in his word. That's what he says. Glory to God. And the past, those fears, we cannot allow the fears to place us in a place of torment or a state of torment or being placed in a position of being stagnant. We can't do that because if you're stagnant, you're not moving, and stagnant water starts to stink. It draws mosquitoes and all this kind of stuff. You don't want to stink. Don't be stagnant. Glory to God. And Bishop T.D. Jakes, he stated, stop buffering. Buffering means preloading data into a reserved area of memory. Are we doing this with our past experience and situations that's causing us to buffer or causing us to fear the next step that God is leading us to? Stop buffering. Stop buffering. Stop downloading all of that information from the past, whether it was your past or what you saw in somebody else's life. Stop buffering. We need to stop buffering. In Psalms 37:23, it states, The steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path. Trust God. Trust God. Stand against fear, knowing God is guiding us if we allow him. If we allow him. And we know when we're going in a direction that God hasn't led us to go, that he hasn't called us to go. We know. We'll try to justify it by whatever. We'll take one scripture or whatever and try to justify what we're doing. If it's for the Lord, we'll try to justify it. Oh, I'm going on a mission trip to Africa. Okay, did God call you to go to Africa? Or wherever place else you may go, did God call you to go there? You just want to go and you just want to blame it on God. Just say that. You're taking a vacation to Africa. Or wherever you want to go. Don't say, because that may not be where God has called you to go have a ministry to. That may not be that. So just say you're going on vacation. In order to take a stand against fear, we must be obedient to what God has told us to do in his word. Plain and simple. And the peace of God comes after obedience to God. We tell people to follow peace, follow peace, follow peace. And I say it all the time. Folks ask me stuff, follow peace. Children, follow peace, y'all. You've got to be obedient. So what is what you're following, is it truly peace, or you're following what you want to do? And you're trying to make peace with it? Or do you truly have the peace of God on what you're doing? The peace of God comes after obedience to God. When we have peace, fear got to go. When we are in a state of peace, dwelling there, fear has no place to set up camp. It may try to wander in, but we got to take a stand and send it out due to the peace of God that we are abiding in, staying in, dwelling in. We've got to do that. And there are some times where we may become comfortable with our fears, with the fears. It's our comfort zone. It's our bubble. It's what we know. Our comfort, our bubble, and what we think we know is keeping us from our calling, our blessings, and our destiny that God has planned for us, as he states in Jeremiah 29:11. So your comfort, God is not concerned about your comfort per se. He's more concerned about your destiny, what he has called you to do. He's not, because God, I know for me, God has placed me in some very uncomfortable situations. Yes. But this is part of what he has called me to do. And I finally realized that. So we could be missing our calling because of fear. You know, what if I had, when pastors first asked me, you know, a couple of years ago or so to teach, and I would allow that fear that did rise up to say, oh, no, I can't do that, or make up some excuse that I couldn't do it. What if? And I've made, now there's other things that I know that God has told me to do and I haven't done. Let's not get it twisted here, okay? But I'm just, this one particular instance here with me teaching. Hallelujah. Let's take a stand against fear. Tell it about our God. And stop telling, we go to prayer and God and we talk to God, but we're going to God and telling him about this, that, and the other. Oh, this is happening. Oh, Lord, I'm scared of this, I'm scared of that. Tell whatever you think you're scared of how big your God is. Because he's a big God. He's a big God. Take a stand against fear. Tell it who you are according to the word of God. We are an overcomer. We are more than a conqueror. We are blessed, and we are a child of God, just to name a few. Tell it who your God is, and tell it who you are and whose you are. Let it know where you stand. Take a stand. We need to stop being spaghetti back. We need to take a stand and get a strong back against fear and other things. We are Christians. We are Christ-like. We are called to be the salt of this world. And we can't be the salt of this world living in fear, in a state of fear. We can't do it. And there are times that fear is brought on by shame. as in Genesis 3, 8 through 10, with Adam and his wife. After they ate the forbidden fruit and heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, they hid out of shame. When God called out to Adam, asking, "Where are you?" Adam replied, "I was afraid, fear, and naked, so I hid." First of all, God asked him, "Who told you you were naked?" That's a whole nother subject. Who told you? Okay, because God never told them they were naked. But anyway, how many times do we hide because we are ashamed and or afraid? How many times do we do that? That's fear. So we go hiding. Maybe not physically hiding, but we will go back to what's familiar. Exactly, comfortable. We'll go back, and God is not concerned about us being comfortable. The only thing to cover the shame that they have, that we have, is the blood of Jesus. God made Adam and his wife clothes from animal skin in Genesis 3:21. That's what the word says. The blood of an animal had to be shed in order to make them a covering, clothes in the natural. In order for our shame, which can cause fear, it needs to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Same concept. We are justified, y'all, meaning declared righteous, by the shedding of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The shedding of the blood of the righteous one. The shame is covered. Let it go. Stand against and overcome fear through the blood of Jesus. Let it go. You're covered. You're covered. Do not allow shame to do that to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not allow shame to make you fearful. Isaiah 43 and 1. But now says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. We are the Lord's. God mentions fear not well over 80 times in the Bible. Trying to tell us something. Well, he ain't trying. He's telling us something. He knew this would be an issue for his children. He knew this would be a stumbling block. He knew the enemy would use fear as a trap for his children and hinder us. Recognize it. Recognize it. Fear not. 1 John 4 and 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves is not perfect. Because fear involves is not perfected in love. 1 John 4 and 18. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment, so that the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. That's the Amplified version of that. God's love is agape love, unconditional. He loves us in spite of. You can fill in and place in there whatever it is in your life, in spite of whatever. For me, I'm gonna make this personal. He loves me in spite of being a teen mom and other ungodly decisions as an unsafe person I made, and decisions as a Christian that was not orchestrated by him that I made. He still loves me. I am his. He still loves me. Regardless of the bad decisions that I've made, repent, make the legal U-turn, and move on. Don't dwell there. Don't let your past get you down. Don't let it get you down. He loves me. So when we find ourselves in situations of fear, anxiety, nervousness, worry, and they trying to creep in, and they're knocking on the door at the midnight hour, let's remember, God is love. I'm going to read this scripture like this, and this is something that God had told me, and I hear this, God is love. There is no fear in God. I'm reading the same scripture, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in God, but perfect God drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who is afraid is not perfected in God. When I changed love to God and read it that way, it spoke differently to me. Fear got to go. Fear must go. Take a stand against fear with the agape love of God our Father. Take a stand against it. God loves you. Don't allow that fear to overtake you and overcome you. Don't allow it. The last scripture that I'm going to read is Psalms 23. And most of the time, this scripture is read at funerals. But this is a scripture of about peace, about love, guidance, protection, and blessings. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of a shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord. That is a scripture of life. That is a scripture of protection. That is a scripture of blessings. That is a scripture of guidance. That is a scripture of do not be afraid. He got you. In order to stand against fear, we must guard our heart. The scripture states, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are we speaking? What is overflowing out of our hearts into our lives, as well as the lives of others? Be intentional about changing what is in your heart. We need to get the word in our hearts. It needs to run over. So when we are faced with a situation or a circumstance, fear is not the state that we decide to live in, or we decide to stay in, we decide to dwell in. It may come, but we can cast it down to allow the peace of God through the word of God that we know to be the state that we are dwelling in during those uncomfortable situations and circumstances that we may face. And this is also a good time where we could use our prayer language. Because sometimes you may be in that fear comes up on you, and you just need to pray in your prayer language. And you can feel a release. And we need to do that. That's why it's so important for Christians to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that is a serious weapon. And we need to speak our heavenly language. It takes the enemy off guard, because he don't have a clue what we're saying. But the angels do, and our heavenly Father do. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. But that is a great time to do that. You know, and situations and circumstances may not always be bad. It could be a good thing that we're allowing fear to hold us back. It could be a good thing, you know, getting a new job, starting school, presenting in front of people. Let peace take precedent and not fear. God got you. God got you. Take a stand against fear and stand with our God and our Lord and our Savior. All right? Amen. Amen. And amen. Glory.